Sometimes we forget when we think about this time of the year. We think that the whole focus is being chayz b'tshuva, which is clearly the case. Yom Kippur, you know, the Yom Slich, and Bechir Kapar, it's also true. It's all one. But the Gemara also says that the reason why Lohayim Tovim Yisroch Yom Kippurim is not only because it's Yom Slich and Bechir Kapara, but because it's Yom Shenit Nalu Choshnias. It's a day of Kabbalah Satara. So the same day that Shavuos is a day of Kabbalah Satara, there's a great Simcha in Shavuos. So to Yom Kippur also is a day of Kabbalah Satara, there's a great Simcha as well. So just as when it comes to Shavuos, you don't just roll into Shavuos. You have to have a chonis, you have to prepare for Kabbalah Satara. There's only one way to prepare for Kabbalah Satara, and that's to learn Torah. You have to be ready, you have to know you can be Makabal. So if Yom Kippur is also a day of Kabbalah Satara, you have to learn extra, extra, extra. So even though everyone's busy and everyone's tired and busy getting up the stichos and being chaz v'tshuva, everyone's worried about Pasachom and all the different things. I says, "Mechuba, don't forget the ikar." Sometimes, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is to say that the Yetzirah knows which battles to fight. And he said that if a person wants to put in a garter, oh, the Yetzirah will let you put in a garter. Everyone's going to mikvah every day. You must say tilim all day. He'll let you know that. The minute you open up your gemara and you start to learn, that's when he's out for trouble. Because he realizes all the other things, Mishkefelech. But once you start to learn, that's the poison. That's his answer. That kills him. So he's going to put all his battles against that. So Slichas, no, you get up for slichas, go stay slichas. Yetzer let you shlok kaparas, let you do everything. Let you be machped, not eat pretzels, not eat entimes. Everything will let you do. But the minute you start to learn a sugi about nemanus of balamekach, then you're going to go nuts. Then the yetzer is going to go crazy. So we have to be misgaber. That's the bottom line. So we have to. This is not antithetical to Aser Mitzvah. This is the greatest key of tshuva. We spoke about tshuva miyavas, limud haTorah. The more we're mamik and Isaac and sugis and shneimoyches, and that's our greatest declaration of Kadosh Baruch Hu that with tzaneinu lasas tzaneinu. Without introduction, we should talk to Sugya. So comes the Gemara on Daf Beizim Beizim, like Yom Ralph, but Beizim Beizim. Comes the Gemara and says, well, we finally figured out if the much maneuvering of the Beizim and Aleph, what the cases of the Mishnah are. We finally identified there are actually two different cases in the Mishnah. There's a Shnai Mokhs and Batalis in terms of a Metziah, but they're both claiming that they found the Talis, and there's a Shnai Mokhs and Batalis in the case vis a vis a Mekichel Memker as well. The Gemara says, really, Mekichel Memker? We're not sure who bought the talis. That's a very, very funny statement. That's a Mishnah by a Metziah. So it's Reuben's word against Shimon. There's nobody else to talk to. So I understand. Reuben says he owned the talis. Shimon says he picked up the talis. So we talk about we're in a stalemate. So we have a Mishnah with a Cholkum, with the whole story, the old Mishnah. When you're dealing with the Mekichel Memker, the Gemara throws out of what seems to be a very, very interesting question. The Lechzei Zuzim Iman Nokat. Let's just see who paid for the talis. So, obviously, the person who shelled out the cash for the talis, he's the one who's going to get the talis. So it sounds like such a simple question. What could possibly be wrong with that question? So Gemara says, you're right. That really would have worked. That would have been the greatest solution to the world. And we wouldn't have even had the case of Mekichel Memker. Except for the fact that we have this convoluted, wild, wacky case that they both paid for the talis. You know, the guy has a good business, running a good store over there. He's taking money from multiple buyers for the same object. So Reuben threw the $100 at him, and Shimon threw the $100 at him. So who taka owns the talis? So the rightful owner is the person who the mocher had in mind to be machted to. Now we have a problem that we're trying to figure out, well, who that is. So that's where the case becomes so much more complicated. But lo yitzuya, that would have been just a straightforward case of one person giving the money, so that would have carried the day. So that's the question of the Gemara. That's what we have to focus in on. That's this kasha of the Gemara. The lechzei zuzei miman nochot. Let us look. That's the key word. Yeah. Let's just take a look and see. Let's ascertain who in fact gave the money. So let's stop at that point. We don't need the answer to the Gemara yet. Just at that. But the Gemara is clearly, I say that with a half of cynicism. The Gemara clearly is saying is that obviously we're asking somebody's opinion and we want to hear what they have to say, and we're going to trust and we're going to believe the answer that they're going to give us. So who exactly are we going to ask? What do you mean Velech Zezuzi? Who are we going to ask? We're going to take a look at a video camera. What are we going to, who are we going to look? How are we going to find out who took the money? What's the answer? So comes Rashi and says, well, it seems pretty straightforward. Obviously it means we have to pull into Beis Din. Who? First, he's not even here. Who is it? The Moichah, gotta bring the Moichah into Beis Din, right? Reuben and Shimon are the two people who, the potential customers, they're fighting out, they're screaming and killing each other over this talis. So comes the Gemara and asks, wait a second, hold the phone. What are you talking about, Shnayim Achzim Atalos? There's a third person here who may have some important input into the case, the Moicher. And let's ask him what his opinion, what actually happened. The implication of that question is that the Moicher is going to be Ne'eman. It's kind of silly to ask somebody a question, and we're not going to take his word for it anyway. So it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that the Moicher will in fact be Ne'eman in his response. So come all the Rishonim, led by Rashi, and say, wait a second, stop, hold the phone. We're going to bring the Moicher in, and the Moicher is going to say something about the case, and we're going to believe what he has to say, and we're going to pass it to the Imam, and it's based on what he says. That's a violation of what? It's a Pasuk Chumash. What? Since when do we pass Kandiri Mom and Shah's based on Ned Echod? So what was the Gemara talking about? There's only one Moicher. There aren't two Moicher. There's only one Moicher. So what was the Gemara even dreaming that we're going to bring in the Moicher and ask him his opinion, and he'll give us his opinion. He'll tell us what happened. He'll tell us Reuben gave him the money. It's still irrelevant because he doesn't have any Nehmanos because he's only a Ned Echod. So that's the basic question in the entire Sugya. So comes Rashi and says, you're right. Based on the regular halachas of Eidus, so he's only a Ned Echad. How's he going to pass a shadow for us? Hello, what? So if Rashi got to learn the sugi at the end of the fourth breakup of Kiddushin, comes in Mark Kiddushin and says, there's a new Nemanus out there on the table called Nemanus Baal HaMekach. A Meicher has a certain degree of Nemanus. Why? We have no idea why. But there's a Nemanus called Nemanus Baal HaMekach. So comes Rashi and says, oh, that's the kasha of the Gemara. The Gemara's kasha was not, let's bring in an outsider, a stranger, and ask his opinion. His opinion is not going to matter. He's a Ned Echad. We're only going to ask the Moicher because he's the Moicher, wearing the hat of the Moicher. Moicher and Baal HaMekach means the same thing. Since he's wearing the hat of the Moicher / Baal HaMekach, he has a certain unique Nemanus called Nemanus Baal HaMekach. So comes Rashi and says, if that's the case, that we're not talking about a Nemanus of a Ned Echad, we're talking about only because of his unique role as a Baal HaMekach, then we have to learn the Gemara Kedushin very well and see, well, what are the parameters of a Nemanus Baal HaMekach? When does a Baal HaMekach believe and when does he not believe? Rashi says the first thing you bump into in the sugi in the fourth record of Kiddushin is that the Gemara differentiates whether the Mekach is still biyadoi or whether the Mekach is no longer biyadoi. Kolzman that the Baal HaMekach is still holding on to the object that he supposedly sold, and we need his input, we need his information as to who he sold it to, even though he's still holding on to it, but we're still trying to figure out who he halachically sold it to. So then he has a degree of nemunus. Once the Mekach is ain't a biyadoi anymore, then it's finished. Then the Baal HaMekach is like a regular stranger, like any other person. He's an Eidech, and Eidech does not believe. So comes Rashi and says, this is all in between the lines of the Gemara, says Rashi. When the Gemara asks, Balechzi Zuzi Miman Nochat, so it can't mean Bitam Eidechot, because Eidech is not Neman. It must be Bitam Baal HaMekach. The problem is, the Gemara says that Baal HaMekach is only believed Rak Neman. So, Mechora said Rashi, is our case of Shnayim Ochuzin, is that a case of Mechor B'yadoi or not? Who is holding on to the Mekach? So the answer is, that's a pretty silly question. Shnayim Ochuzin B'talos. It doesn't say the Baal Mekach is Ochuzin B'talos, it says that the two people are Ochuzin B'talos. So Rashi says, since it's obvious from the context of the case that the Baal Mekach is no longer an Ochuz, he's no longer B'yadoi, and then we're back to square one. So how could the Gemara even dream that there's any Nemanus of the Baal HaMekach? If the Gemara says the Ferish and Kedush, that's only when Mecha B'yadoi. This is all bothering Rashi. Rashi is sitting there, but we see it, but face sitting on some Gedai, trying to figure out what was the Gemara's kasha? Where is the Gemara coming from? What field? With this question of the Lechzi Zuzim Iman Nachar. Comes Rashi and says, if you look carefully at the Gemara in Kedush, and then you go back to the Gemara in Mitzia, you realize what the answer is. Says Rashi, if you look really, really carefully between the lines in the Sefer's Kedush, you notice that this statement of the Gemara that Baal HaMekach is only believed in Mecha B'yado, rock, only when it's Mecha B'yado, is not exactly true. We have to qualify the qualification. We started out by saying there's this grandiose thing called Baal HaMekach. We have no idea why it works, but we'll trust it right now. Baal HaMekach works. Then the Gemara chipped away at Baal HaMekach and said, well, it's only true when it's Mecha B'yado. Then the Gemara chips away at the chip away by saying, when do we insist that it has to be Mecha B'yado? That's only if the Baal HaMekach received money from two parties. So then and only then, we're only going to trust him to make that discerning feature, to say, yes, I received the money from both, but I only had Kavana from one, I only had Da'as from one of them. That very, very fine line as to who we actually sold it to, that he's only trusted, Kozman is Mecha B'yadai. But What if it's not such a fine line? It's just a question of, there's only one person gave $100. All he has to tell us is, I got from Reuben and not from Shimon. I got from Shimon and not from Reuben. Comes the Gemara Kedushin, according to Rashi read it, and says, then the Baal HaMekach will be believed, even if it's Ein Mechel B'yado. So comes Rashi and says, when all the dust settles, there is a Ne'amonus of Baal HaMekach. Baal HaMekach is Ne'amon, the Ein of B'yado, provided that Kibel Rak Me'echod. Atkan Divir Rashi in the Gemara. So now comes Rashi based on what he just learned in Maseches Kedushin and says, Agamar reads like a charm. The Gemara asks the question, let's trust the Baal HaMekach, even though it's Eino B'yado. What did the Gemara think? What was the Havamina of the Gemara at this stage? The Gemara thought it's only one person who gave it, so the Gemara thought that it's principle number four. Baal HaMekach is Nehman B'Eino B'yado, because he was Makabal one from one. What was the Gemara's answer? The answer was, you thought it was number four? No, the correct case is this number three. And both people gave money. And since both people gave money, Baal HaMekach Rak Nehman of Mechel B'yado, because Kibel Mishnehem. So the Shach V'Tayana Gemara, the Kash of the Terence of the Gemara, was not a halakhic issue. It was just, what's the case? The Gemara knew all the facts. The facts were known from day one. A regular person has absolutely no Nehmanus. There's only a Nerecha. There is a Nehmanus of Baal HaMekach. And within the Nehmanus of Baal HaMekach, it depends. Sometimes he's believed when it's Elder B'yado. Sometimes he's believed even when it's Ein B'yado. Depending on whether it's from one or from two. And that's exactly what the flow of that Gemara is. Very simple according to that. So we put together the sugyas of Maseches Kedusha and Maseches Bava Tzia. You come out basically with these two halachas. Halacha number three and halacha number four. We have to ask ourselves, do we understand this? According to Rashi, these two halachas of Nehmanus Baal HaMekach, right? Din number one is now it's B'yado, then he's Ne'amon, Afilu, Kibel, Mishneim. When it's Eino B'yado, it's Ne'amon, the Kibel, the Echad. These are the two parts of Baal HaMekach. Do you understand this? What do Rashi? Does it make any sense to you? This is just arbitrary. If it's Takas Yadu, not Takas Yadu, was it Makabal for one, not Makabal for the other, what's this all about? What's going on with Rashi? Who said the Gemara and Kedushin carefully? The Rashi carefully. So that's very part of the answer. Comes Rashi and says, it all boils down to one thing. The Baal HaMekach, Avaz is Ne'amon. We have no question about the Baal HaMekach, provided that we're really convinced that he knows what he's talking about. Before we can believe the Baal HaMekach, we have to make sure that he's giving us the right information, that he's medayek. Every store owner knows exactly what's flying. Every guy knows everything, what's flying. You ask a guy, a guy's running a store, and you say to him, so tell me, who'd you sell to? I don't remember, I did, and that. Not everyone's holding on top of all the information going on in their store. So before we invoke this brand new, grandiose Nehmanus called Baal HaMekach, which we have no idea mechanically how this works, because after all, isn't it a violation of Erechot? So we didn't even begin to deal with that problem. We may not even get to that problem until tomorrow. But putting that problem on the side, somehow we overcame this obstacle called Erechot. I don't understand. But maybe the guy just doesn't know the story. Maybe the guy is just off. He doesn't have the right information. How can we trust the Baal HaMekach? We're going to make a difference in dollars and cents. We're going to make a difference in Mamnus Pesach based on a guy who has mistaken. He thinks he knows what's going on. So comes Rashi and says, these categories, these distinctions, are all different ways that Chazal sat down and tried to analyze and try to see, can we trust that the guy really is assessing the situation properly? Can we really, really be sure that the Baal HaMekach is as medayek as he claims he is? He comes and tells, yeah, I sold it to who? How do you know the guy's telling him? Not the guy's a bad guy. How do you know that he remembers what's going on? Rashi says, these are all different ways of figuring it out. Says Rashi, it's really very simple. Okay? If a guy only got money from one person, there was only one person who walked into a store today and gave him money for his talents. You need such a tremendous ikaron. You need such a tremendous dichronos. Remember, if an hour ago somebody came in, Reuben walked into the store and gave him money, and I never saw Shimon before, so you need such a great, tremendous exact to be sure that the guy stopped in the stomach. He remembers. I only got money from one person. So therefore, says Rashi, the element of fact that he only got from one person, what do I need? Tachas Yaddo. What do I care whether the Mekach is in his hand, not in his hand? What's the difference? He'll remember an hour later, remember a week later also. He only met one person, never met the other person. Says Rashi in Maseches Kedushin, but if he got money from both people, so then it's already much more complicated. Then he doesn't have to remember a face. That's hard enough. He doesn't have to remember a face. What does he have to remember? He got two people throwing money at him at the same time. What piece of information must he recall? Which one did what? Now it doesn't matter who gave first. Who is he misrata to? Who did he have das stealing for? Maybe he didn't like the way one guy presented him the money. The guy wasn't such a nice person. Maybe he gave it to a guy. I don't know. It's hard to remember. To tell me that I have to remember that I met one person, that I meet Reuben, that I meet Shimon, that's not so hard. To tell me that I met both Reuben and Shimon, they both put money on my table, and at the time I remember that I had das for one, not for the other, that's a really, really tough, that's a tough thing to remember. So how could we trust that the person is remembering all the facts correctly? So comes Rashi and says, what? Now it's Mishapar time. Now it's the time for Mishapar. So comes Rashi and says, the person has a very, very strong incentive to be make sure that he's got the truth. Why? Because Kol's man at the Mekach is Tachas Yodo, if it turns out that he goofs up on the story and he ends up giving the Mekach to the wrong person, the person who didn't really quote-unquote buy it, the person who didn't give the money, what just happened? What was the terrible consequences of that? Well, we spoke about this last week. We paskin that Minat Torah, Mos are not really Konos. Minat Torah, Mos are Konos. But Lemaisa, Mos are not Konos. Remember Rabbi Yochanan Shlokhash last week, right? What did we spoke about this? What's the din? A person goes to a store, I give $10 for a bag of potatoes, I didn't pick it up yet. Am I cleaning the potatoes? They're not my potatoes yet. And then all of a sudden I change my mind. No, I don't want to buy the potatoes. What's the din? Can I back out? Absolutely. Can Beis Din force me to go through this sale? Absolutely not. Because we paskin that most konos min haTorah, but they're not konos min derabbanan. So min derabbanan, they did away with the kinyan most. But the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia in the fourth parak, even though strictly speaking you can back out from the deal because min derabbanan the kinyan is not chal yet, but the chachamim gave the person a hazah mishaberech, they call it, or call it mishaparah. They gave a hazah curse and says, you want to back out? That's fine. The same Rabbi Shapar Midor HaMabul, the Rabban Shalom who punished the Dor HaMabul, who punished the Dor HaFlogah and Anshei Sedoim, and all the other great tzaddikim throughout history, the Shbracha will deal with the people who give $10 of potatoes and don't keep their word. So in other words, back out at your own risk. You want to back out? But then, hey, you want to risk a Mishapara, so then we're gonna grant you a wonderful bracha called the Mishapara. So here the Meicher is shaking, the Meicher is tittering. He's got his bag of potatoes here, and he's trying to remember, who did I take the money from? Did I take the money from Reuben, or did I take the money from Shimon? So the Yemen says, I took the money from both of them. Oh, so who did I have Das Kinyan for? Was it for Reuben, for Shimon? Gevalt, I don't know. So the guy is not going to make a statement unless he's really convinced of the truth. Because if he makes a statement, and he's kind of pulling the wool over our eyes, he's not really sure who he gave it to, there's a 50-50 chance he may end up getting smacked with a Mishapara. So therefore, the person is going to be super duper duper medayek not to be mighty the mekach mitachas yado to the wrong person. If the mekach is ready, not tachas yado, it's ready, the guys are fighting out. So what do you want from this guy anymore? It's over, finished. But for him, Kol's man, that he has that curse of Mishapar hanging over his head, he's going to be super duper medayek, even in a situation where it's otherwise difficult for him to remember, because remember, he's recovering the money from both people. So the odds of a guy really remembering aren't so good. But what he's lacking in terms of his memory, Mishapar will jar his memory to make sure that he's giving us the right information. So according to Rashi, this whole thing boils down to the whole sugya of Alameka is not so exciting. There's no really razzle-dazzle-lachy categories in Mishapara. Mishapara is just trying to, in Balameka. Balameka is just trying to accomplish one thing. To figure out, is the guy medakdek, or is he not medakdek? Does the guy really know what's going on, or does he not really know what's going on? That's the whole sugya. From beginning to end, according to Rashi. And these are just different guidelines and different cases, different scenarios, different factors to try to figure out. If it's Eino B'yado, but it's only Mekabel from one, he probably is Medayek. If he's Mekabel from two, that leads us to believe he probably wasn't Medayek. But if it's still Tachas Yado, he's got to be Shapar hanging over his head, he'll probably be Medakhtik. So according to Rashi, all you have to reach is to make sure that he reached the proper share of Daikonis. He was medayek to the best of our ability. We're satisfied with that degree of dakonos, and then we're going to believe him. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. This is the sugya according to Rashi. Rashi runs into a brick wall, though, in the sugya. Conceptually, Rashi is perfect. It's beautiful, wonderful. He got the Gemara Kedushin down bat. He's got the Gemara above Mitzi. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is gevalik according to Rashi. There's only one small technical problem. What is it? one word. How can you get messed up? Hosea, beautiful Shtuk Torah, and now the words came. Now the Gemara ruined it for me. How can it be? What did Gemara ruin it? What did Gemara say? So the Gemara asked the Kasha, let's believe the Baal HaMekach. And the Gemara said, no, Hakam HaSkinan, that he took from both people. And since Rashi is learning, it's Eino Takas Yadu anymore, like this is reading in the Mishnah, Shnei Mechaz and Metalas, the Baal HaMekach is out of the picture. So therefore the Baal HaMekach loses his Nemonis under those circumstances. What's the word? That's a problem according to Rashi. There was a Girsa floating around in the Gemara, that after the Gemara asked, Falechzi Zuzim Iman Nochat, what does the word lo yada mean? He doesn't know. Can I get the Aramaic dictum down pat? For lo yada, he doesn't know. Who doesn't know? The Baal HaMekach doesn't remember. So how come I see the Baal HaMekach doesn't remember? So says Rashi, wait a second. The implication of that statement would be that if the Baal HaMekach remembered, what would we say to him? We'd say, we believe you, thank you very much for your input, thank you for your information. You saved us the headache of making a shvur and shnei mechzim medalas. So the simple reading of the Gemara is, according to that Gersa, velo yoda, that the Baal HaMekach doesn't know, ha in yoda, the din would be different. He would taka be in ha'amad. So comes Rashi and says, that one word in the Gemara, yoda, throws off my entire pshat. Because according to my pshat, we're talking about an eino biyado, and if it's eino biyado, and he was makabel from both, well, it's Mekabel from both, and it's an Eino B'yado, that spells a lack of Ne'amanus to the Baal HaMekach. How could the Gemara say V'lo Yada, implying that if the Baal HaMekach wouldn't know, he would be believed? It says, Rashi, there's only one way to solve the problem. What is that? That it changed the Girsa, that it added a few letters to the Yada. What do you make it? Lo Yadina, that's a whole different world. What does Lo Yadina mean? Lo Yadina means that Olo Yadana, if you want to stick to your other grammar. What's that Girsa? Yadana, right? Yadana, Yadina, it's all different. But it's different from Yada. Yadana, Yadina means that we don't know. It means Zelo Echpatli, what the Baal HaMekach is saying. But the Gemara's answer is that we thought that the Baal HaMekach is going to be believed because we thought that he was only a kala for one person. So we thought it was the equivalent of box of case number two. Neman Bikibu Yechad. No, he was the emes, the case is the okim tesachem ha'iskin is makabel from both, and therefore we halachically don't know what the answer is. The Baal HaMekach screaming from the end of the morning, he knows, he remembers, it doesn't bother, it doesn't matter what he's telling us. What he's saying is meaningless, he doesn't have any amanus because he's lacking in the level of dictum that's necessary in order to believe him. So by one fell swoop with a pen, by one adding in a couple of letters, turning a yada into a yadina, into a yadana, so Rashi solved the entire problem. Baruch Hashem, we can breathe easily, that we have our home halacha according to Rashi. It all revolves around the daktik, and you just have to do a little bit of touch-up on the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't really mean the correct girsa is not l'yada, rather the correct girsa is yadina. So Rashi's basic format of the sugya is picked up by the Riff also. The Riff was a little bit before Rashi. The Riff pretty much has the same basic structure of the Gemara in terms of understanding the categories of there's a Neman of Baal HaMekach, based on the reading of the Gemara Masechet Kedushin, that the other was Neman of Bekibel, and the other was Neman of Bekibel B'yach, and everything is all the same. But the Riff took a little bit of a detour from Shittas Rashi, and what forced the Riff to take a detour from Shittas Rashi was what word? Yada. The Riff had the Girsa Yada. The Riff didn't think of changing the Girsa. The Riff had the word Yada, and he was going to work with the word Yada, but the problem with the word Yada means that Hakam Maiskin, the Baal HaMekach doesn't know, implying that if the Baal HaMekach does know, then the Baal HaMekach would be Neman. But wait a second. How could the Baal HaMekach be Neman? It doesn't make any sense. How could he be Neman? If the rule is Eino B'yado, and we just said based on the Gemara Kedushin, which the Riff also subscribes to, that if it's Eino B'yado, it's with Kabbalah from two people, so he's not Neman. So how do you salvage the word Yada? What's the answer? The Riff said very, very simple. We've been working for the last half hour with one basic flawed assumption. What was the flawed assumption? We've been assuming where's the talus? Shnei mechzim talus. Now that's not our problem. It is the name of the parak. So we thought, obviously, like Rashi led us to believe that the talus is not takas yad Baal HaMekach anymore. Comes the Riff and says that's the piece of information that you had wrong. Says the Riff, that's the mistake that you made. You thought that the Baal HaMekach doesn't have the talus. Why do you think such a silly thing? Because it says Shnei mechzim talus. Nah, as of the Riff. Shnei mechzim talus. That phrase of Eichazin is only referring to what? To the Metziah part of the story, because remember there are two parts of the Mishnah, the Metziah and the Mekach HaMemker. The Mekach HaMemker, where is the talus in the case of Mekach HaMemker? It's sitting in the store, it's in the talus store. It's Tachas Yad Baal HaMekach, and therefore the Baal HaMekach does have Nemonis. This particular Baal Megach doesn't have Nemonis, not because he doesn't have Nemonis, he just doesn't remember the case. Lo Yada, he doesn't know. But Lo Yitzi would have known, it would have made life easy for us. Yitaka would have been believed. So whereas according to Rashi, the question was, let's believe the Baal Megach, Al Nemonis Baal Megach, to which the Gemara answered was, he doesn't have Nemonis because we got the case where he's talking about Nemon, because it's Enotakas Yadai. According to the Rif, no. The kasha was, let's believe the Baal Megach. The answer is, you're right. We would believe the Baal Megach if he would have what to tell us. But the Baal Megach himself doesn't remember what the case is. Lo Yadi, he doesn't know. So if he doesn't know, how's it going to help us? But Lo Yitzu, the Baal Megach would know. We would believe him. I happen to believe him based on the rules of the Gemara Kedushin. The answer is, no, we got the wrong case. That this is a case of Takas Yadav. So La Halacha, is there any difference in Rashi and the Rif? Well, Maisa, there's no halachic difference. The differences between Rashi and the Rif are, in a sense, technical differences in terms of just the flow of the sugya. Difference number one is, what's the Giyasa Yodo Yadina? Here, question number two is, where's the talus? Is it Tachas Bala Mekach, or is it between the two people who are fighting about it? So they're very, very technical, textual differences in terms of name, what's the name of the case, and what's the word of the Gemara. But in terms of halachically, there's no real halachic problem. With no real halachic difference in Rashi and the Rif, they're all saying the same thing, that ultimately what creates the Nemonis, the whole Nemonis of Baal Megach, is revolving around Medachtik. And there are two ways to reach Medachtik. Either you reach Medachtik because it's an easy thing to remember, I only got money from one person, or even if it's complicated to remember, if I have the sword of Mishapar hanging over my head, that can help me remember what I would otherwise forget. So Rashi and the Rif of Pialocha are pretty much the same, even though there is a little bit of a nuance and differences as they approach us. So far, so good. This is the easy part, right? Everyone got it? Rashi, Rif, right? Everyone saw the Gemara? Very simple. Comes Tosfos, both in Kedushin and both in Tziya, and questions the fundamental premise of everything we've been saying for the last half hour. And it's really very simple what Tosfos Kasha is. Tosfos Kasha is, listen and stop, hold the phone. You're telling me a story on a gila with a Baal Megach has an emunah, as long as we make sure he knows what he's talking about. Stop. From where? From who? From what? From where? Where'd it come from? Emunah of Baal Megach. According to my book, says Taisus, it says in the Heilige Torah, Apishnai made him Yachum Dover. You need to aid him. It doesn't say in the Chumash. But imhu Baal Megach, uneman be'echad. So why is the Baal Megach? Where's the Baal Megach? Where did you get from 1 to 2? That's the problem, says Tosfos. You disqualified the Baal Megach b'Toras Eidachon, then you called him the Baal Megach, says Neman b'Toras Baal Megach. What kind of wacky thing is that? Neman is a Baal Megach. What is such a crazy thing? So Tosfos says, you have to first explain to me why a Baal Megach has ever believed what in the world Chazal would talk about Neman is Baal Megach. Even when you tell me what he's believed on, then I'll begin to discuss our sugya properly. But first things first, says Tosfos. Zok Taisus, the Baal Megach has not believed the Teres Eidus. That's for sure. Eid Echad is not Neman B'Nidimam, it's Bichlal. What other possible Nemonis could a Baal Megach have if not based on Uchas Eidus? We have to go back and ask ourselves, well, what other possible Nemonis is? Show the plural of Nemonis is, Nemoniot. What other Nemoniot do we have in Halacha? What other situations have we found, have we bumped into in our in-depth reading of Maseches Bamitzia in the last 2 weeks, or a year-long trek through Baba Basra, what other nemonis have we found which don't work with the regular rules of Eidus? It's a good friend of ours. What do we call it? Migo. We've heard the word Migo. Migo is a whole new nemonis. Unbelievable. A Baldin. A Baldin's nemon. A Baldin. A Baldin. He's not an Eid. He's nothing. All of a sudden, a Baldin comes up with something. And hocus pocus, we say the word Migo. Since he could have done this, he could have done that, he could have done the other thing. All of a sudden, that leads us to believe he's telling us the truth, and that's accepted by the halacha. Nemonis of Migo. We haven't even begun to discuss where Migo comes from, how do we know it even exists, but we have Mishnayos and Gemaras to say throughout Shas that work with Migo. Comes Taisus and never been a time and says, you want to know what Nemonis Baal Megach is? It's really very simple. The Baal Megach has the item in his possession still. It's still in the store. It's Tachas Yoda. And he comes and he says to us, I'm telling you that I sold it to Reuven. Or I'm telling you I sold it to Shimon. Why should we believe? Migo could have said what? What's his Migo? I didn't sell it to anybody. It's mine. He could have said it's his, and he could give it to him as a gift to Reuven. He's holding on to it. It's sitting on his shelf in his store. Nemanis Balamekach. Zach Taisus, there's no razzle dazzle brand new Nemanis Balamekach. Every Balamekach is basically an ego. Now this is a very, very fascinating application of Migo. Why is this fascinating application of Migo? What is the Balamekach not? He's not about Din. He's not even involved in the case. Reuven and Shimon are fighting it out. We bring the Balamekach Levi in from the store. He's very upset. He doesn't want to close the store. We schlep him out in the middle of the day. He comes to Beis Din and we ask him a question. He's not about Din. He's not a case. He's not a member of the case. Well, we're bringing him in to give us information based on, and we're going to accept his information, Migo, that he could have said that it was his and he wants to give it to whoever he wants to give it to. That's a very, very interesting application of the principle of Migo. It almost touches on one of the studs of the Chakira of Migo. Remember, we spoke about what is Migo? Is Migo a bureau? Is Migo kind of a din, somehow of a bali din, of tainus, as chusa taina, koecha taina, something of that nature? This doesn't sound very koecha taina-ish. The guy's not putting any taina. He doesn't want to be bothered. He said, what are you bringing me out? I'm trying to sell my, I'm running a store in the afternoon. What are you bringing me out to come to a din Torah? So he's not coming to Torah about din. He's coming as an outsider. And some of them are believing or accepting what he has to say because it would appear to us that he's telling the truth because he could have said something else. I'm not sure he's so interested in the Misha Parah at this point. Tosfos is not so interested in the Medakdik. Tosfos is trying to take a step back from Rashi's Pshat. They're trying to get to the basic Nemonis. Where did the Nemonis come from? So Tosfos says that that's the case, that the Nemonis about Mecca has nothing to do with anything else short of Amigo. And one thing is absolutely true. What's absolutely Chayk V'lo Yavar, according to Tosfos? What's an absolute Chayk V'lo Yavar? The Nemanis about Mekach can only be true when it's only as good as the Migo is. And the Migo is only true when it's what? When it's Odeh B'Yado. Once it's Eina Tachas Yado, what's Shach to talk about Migo? So Tosfos says that's a given, it's a Dava Pasha. So Rabbi Sai, Eina Achad for sure it's not. Bala Mekach, this is now Tosfos talking, Bala Mekach equals Migo. What is absolutely true? Bala Mekach Rach, remember I underlined it 15,000 times. Rach, Neman, with Mecha B'yada. Right? What's got to go really fast? What's got to go big time according to Tosfos? Better cut that out. And cut out for us. Because there's nothing to negotiate. What do you mean? It's Eino Tachas Yada? What's that talking about? I can't even begin to discuss the topics, says Tosfos. If it's Eino Tachas Yada, because he doesn't have the Migo. It's always Migo. So conceptually, Tosfos makes a lot of sense. Because again, we went through this whole Rashi's Pshat. We faked ourselves out for half hour giving Rashi's Pshat and the Rish's Pshat, but we never really answered according to neither Rashi nor Rish's. We understood where the Baal Mekach Nemanis comes from in the first place. We just kind of glossed over that most important piece of information. Comes Tosfos and told us where Baal Mekach comes from. It's based on Migo. So then the corollary of number two is obviously number three. So of course we have a big problem. We have two big problems. What's the big problem? What's the big problem? What? No, we know what it comes from. It comes from ego. We're okay. So we have a big problem, according to Tosfos. You know what the big problem is? The lech zeizuze miman nokat. What does that question mean? The lech zeizuze miman nokat. Where is the Mekach right now? Well, like the riff, it's still in the hands of the Baal Mekach? Come on. The lech zeizuze miman nokat. What was the Gemara thinking even? To make matters even worse, where else does the Gemara ask those exact same four words? In Maseches Kedusha. What does the Gemara say in Kedusha? The Gemara says, Neman Bala Mekach, Bizman Shemecha Biyado, Aval Ein Mecha Biyado, Ein O Neman. Correct, the Gemara of Alexei Zuzi Biman Nochat. According to Rashi and the Riff, what was that question going on? Alexei Zuzi Biman Nochat? It was the same basic question as here, namely, even if it's Ein O Biyado, let us believe him, to which the Gemara answered, Lotzricha Dinocha Bitravayim. Right? Same as here. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what in the world was the Gemara asking him about Kedusha? The Gemara asked the same four words, Velech Zuzu Iman Nochet in Kedusha, and above Metziah, but neither question makes any sense whatsoever. Because according to Ben Etam, it's a done deal. The case is over. Once it's Eino B'yado, there's no Miga. Once it's no Miga, there's no Nemanus. So what in the world does the Gemara mean, both in Bar Metzia as well as in Kiddush? So we got our work cut out for us according to Shittas Ben Etam. So we're going to start from Kedushin, even though we're learning about Kedushin now, we'll start from Kedushin, because that's really where the main sugya is. The sugya by the Al-Mekka, because really Kedushin sugya, is getting thrown into Bar Metzia. We have to go back to the Mechayis. Tosa says that, tell me what the Nemanus is based on.
The Rashi said the Nemanus is based on
the fact that we believe you'll become true, either because you're not going to forget, you're not going to forget. Moshe Rabbeinu comes into Beis and he says that Reuven owes him $100. He's also not Nemanus. He's a very honest guy. He's not Nemanus.
So Rashi was saying that you're just believing because you're
all Rashi was addressing, Rashi was trying to show that the person is most probably telling the truth. Tosa says, it's a loch batli. It's a true but irrelevant. He's telling the truth. Good, he's telling the truth. Come on. Give him a lie detector test. It's still irrelevant. So let's go back to the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin again. The Gemara made two statements. The Gemara said, Neman Bala Mekach. Right? Mekha Bihadai. The second half is, Ein Neman Bala Mekach. Pretty simple, okay? Then the Gemara asked the question. What's the question going on? How did Rashi and the Rif learn the Gemara's question? Pretty obvious, right? If the Gemara said, here he's Neman, here he's not Neman, the Gemara says, wait a second, what do you mean he's not Neman? Let him be Neman. So question, stage three in the Gemara was a question on stage two. Comes a bit of time and says, that's where you made a mistake. That's where you went off to, made a detour. So after being a time, stage three in the Gemara, everyone's in the Gemara condition. The Lech Zay Zuzi Miman Nochrat is not questioning, hey, let's extend the Nemonah Sabala Mekach even to case number two when it's a Nemon, when it's a Mekach B'yodo. That wasn't even on the radar screen. How could he even dream of being Ma'am in the Bala Mekach? He's like an Eidach and he doesn't have a Migo because he's not like his Yodo. So the Gemara never asked such a foolish question. The Gemara's question, Lech Zay Zuzi Miman Nochrat, the Gemara says, hey, wait a second, hold on, one second. You are telling me there's a concept called Nemonas Bala Mekach? No. I'm questioning that Nemonas. The question, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Alexei Zuzi, is not let's extend that Nemonas even in a case with Ein B'yado. Fakir, let's limit that Nemonas to such a point that it doesn't exist. The Gemara is questioning, the Gemara is objecting to the very essence of the dinner, Nemonas Bala Mekach. The whole Bala Mekach is shaky because Alexei Zuzi Riman Nochet. What do the words mean? What do you mean, Alexei Zuzi Riman Nochet? So, to Rabbeinu Tam, it means like this. The Bala Mekach, he still has Mekach B'yado, so he's got his quote-unquote Mika. He's walking in the base and he's saying, I sold the object to Reuven. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. Forget about what he's saying. Do we see, were there other people sitting around the store, other people who know, who saw, who gave the money? Shimon gave the money. Let's take a look and see. If Shimon gave the money, so you want us to believe the Bala Mekach that he really, even though he took the money from Shimon, he really had in mind to sell it to Reuven. So he had in mind, he was going to the Daita to sell to Reuven, even though Reuven didn't give him the money. Shimon's the one who gave him the money, and you want to believe the Bala Mekach because he has an ego? That's the Gemara's Kasha. That's a very, very, very shvach an ego. That, yes, it's true, in theory the Bala Mekach has an ego. In theory he could say he sold it to nobody. In theory he can say he wasn't recovering the money willingly from anybody. It's true. We don't know what is in his heart of hearts. That's true. So in theory, as an ego, to say he didn't sell it. So he says, wait a second. You want us to believe him to say that he sold it to Reuven. Miguel could have said it's still his. Even though we know for a fact that he took money from Shimon, that's a problem. Was it a problem? It's an amigo. What's the problem? We call that amigo b'makom what? It's amigo b'makom what? B'makom Eidim. Amigo b'makom anansade. The amigo against something that we don't really think is true. The Gemara says later on, the sixth parakah of Metzia, what if Reuven comes in the basement and he presents Taina A? He says Taina A, and we don't really believe him on Taina A, but he has Taina B, he could have said, so all of a sudden we plug in a chesmigo, we believe him to say Taina A. Great, Gavaldik. Migo, Nigo gives him that manas and Tana'e. But what if you have Edom who say Tana'e is a lie? The Tana'e that he's saying is mamash against Edom. It's not shot that we don't know whether he's telling the truth or not, so we have to plug in a Nigo to accept him. We know he's not telling the truth. We have Edom that is not telling the truth. Or even if we don't have real Edom, we have what's called an Aran Sade. It appears that he's not telling the truth. There are other factors in here. There's a robe. There are other factors that are indicating that what he's saying, Lamaisa, is probably not true. So Rabbi said, Migo is a Biror, but it's not the greatest Biror in the world. It's not as great a Biror as Edom. It's not as great a Biror as Aran Sade. So if there's a tremendous if there's a tremendous statistics pointing against the validity of the Migo, that's called up Yaloch, Migo B'Makam Edom. So over here comes Ibn Atam and Demeh, that's the Cheshbin. He says, we all know that Shimon gave the money. And the Balamechach is saying, Shimon gave the money, yeah, it's true, but I sold it to Reuven. There's an Aran Sadeh, if you take money from one person, then you sell them the object, you don't sell it to somebody else. How many times have you gone to the store, you went to the Pathmark, and you gave $10 for baked potatoes, and the guy says, oh, I'm sorry, I meant to sell those baked potatoes to somebody else. But I just gave you the money for the potatoes. So it happens, it could happen once in 10 times, once in 100 times, once in 1,000, it could happen. But Lamaisa is an Aran Sadeh, there's a pretty good chance, an overwhelming majority of the cases, and that's not what happened. That's the Gemara's Kasha. How could there be a din of Nemanis Balamekach? You have to rule, the Gemara thought only one person gave the money. So if one person gave the money, just take a look and see who that person is. If it's the other person who the Balamekach is not saying, so that's a Migo, but Mokam Edim. So what's the Gemara's answer? What's the Gemara's answer in condition? Hachav Mayaskin, and what? He took from both, and then the Migo, then the Edim's off, or the Edim. We know for a fact he took from both, and now we have no idea who he actually willingly sold it to. So then you fall back on the Migo. So the Shach Matai, according to Ben Tam and Masechus Kedushin of Ayin Dalet, is not let's extend the Nemanus Bala Mekach even to a case where it's Ein B'Yadah. Ein B'Yadah is off the charts, not even a possibility. The Gemara Shach Matai was, even in a case where he's Neman, we should not be Neman in him. He should lose his Nemanus, because every Nemanus of Bala Mekach is predicated on Migo, and every Migo is a Migo of Mokham Eidim, to which the Gemara said, you're right, Hakam Ayaskin, and that's not a Migo of Mokham Eidim. That's where Ibn Tam learns the Gemara. Whoa, radically 180 degree different than Rashi and the Rif. Rashi and the Rif learned the Lechzi Zuzi Manochet is a reason to extend the Nemanus, and Ibn Tam learns there's a reason to limit the Nemanus.
You're saying the buyers themselves should be the Eden?
No. The people, Lechzi, we should find it, we should see. The stomach is a way to see who gave the money. We should see who gave the money. That's where Ibn Tam learns Pshat. It's a great shot in Maseches Kedushin. Of course, it fails miserably where? Bar Metzia. Why is it failing Bar Metzia? In Bar Metzia, we have it in Torah. Reuven and Shimon are fighting over this talis. Reuven screaming at his, Shimon screaming at his. We're about to invoke a Shvua. We're about to apply the din in the Mishnah. They're about to take a Shvua. And all of a sudden, the Gemara says, no, wait. Don't give a Shvua. Bring in somebody else to give us some more information. Let's go drag the Balam Hekach out of his store and have him tell us what's going on. Lechzi Zuze Biman Nochat. Or, we're going to look and see who gave the money. Forget the Baal Mekach. We're going to look ourselves and see. That's what the words mean. We're going to look and see who gave the money. And what's that going to tell us exactly? We're about to give a Shavua because we don't know what to do. So we're going to invoke Lechzi Zuze Biman Nochat to teach us what? To tell us what to do. Tell us not to make a Shavua. And stop. What's the problem? The violation on the play, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Lechzi Zuzi Biman Nochat is a reason to believe or a reason not to believe. What did Rabbeinu Tam say in Maseches Kedushin? It's a reason not to believe. The Lechzi Zuzi Biman Nochat is a shtach and saying, how you think the Baal Mechus believe he has a Migo? Yeah, he doesn't have a Migo, it's a Migo Mokham Egen. Here, we're searching for an Emonos. We're looking for somebody who has some more pertinent information to give us. We're looking for someone who's going to tell us something that's going to prevent the application of the Din HaMishnah. That's the question of the Gemara. Why should we invoke a Shvua and have the whole Dinishna Mechusim Batalis play out? Let's bring in somebody else who tell us something. Let it be the Baal Mekach, let it be a stranger, let it be somebody. Bring in somebody, help, save the day so we don't have to apply the Din of Mishnah. We don't want to give Shvua shoves in the middle of Seres Mitzvah. So we want to bring in somebody to prevent our Mishnah from taking place. According to Ben Adam, that's what it does. The Lech Zuzim Manochot has nothing at all to do with that. The Lechzi Zuzi Biman Nochat of Maseches Kedushin meant something radically different. It meant don't believe the Baal Mekach because it's a Mikra B'Makom Eidim. So How in the world does that play out over here? So what's the answer according to Rabbeinu Tam? The Taka doesn't. And the phrase over here means something radically different than it means in Kiddushin. It's the same four words, that's a totally different meaning. What does mean over here? Well, it can't mean what? It can't mean like it means in Kiddushin, because there that was a reason not to believe. What obviously can't it mean either? It can't mean like Nemanus Balamekach. Why? Because Rabbeinu Tam says no such thing as Nemanus Balamekach, Cholzman, it's not Biyado. And the Riff, come on, no, Riff. So what was the Lechzim Manoka? It must be something totally different. So we're sitting back and scratching our heads and starting to go, what's the words mean about Rabbeinu Tam? It can't mean, it's the exact same words, four same words that can't mean what they mean in Kiddushin. And it can't mean Rashi's Pshat. So we're a checkmate, what does it mean? So Kupnu Rabbeinu Tam made up a whole new Pshat. A brand of Pshat Yeshmeh. What the new Nemonis is? Zokhtu Rabbeinu Tam? Unbelievable Pshat. Why did Rabbeinu Tam have to make up Baal Mekach being amigo? What was bothering Rabbeinu Tam? That Baal Mekach can't be believed by Teres Atzma. Why? Because it's only a what? It's only an Enechon. Good. That's the answer. Let's say Zuzmi Manoch, let the Baal Mekach come in and tell us what happened, and we'll accept him as an Enechon. An Enechon. We just threw an Enechon out of basin. Who listens to an Enechon? Nobody ever listens to an Enechon. And what's the answer? Nobody ever listens to an Enechon to do what? In the realm of Hilchus Mamonis, but an Erechon is believed what? In the realm of Hilchus Shvuas. Shvuas Erechon. Anyone heard Shvuas Erechon? Well, Yochum Erechon be'ish, l'chol av l'chol chatos, 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 l'chol av It's a din der ice that an Erechon, although he does not believe to be mighty Mamon, he is believed to be Mechayv Shvuah. Comes to Ben Tam, I'll tell you an unbelievable secret. Shh, don't tell anyone. This is the next sugya. Comes to Ben Tam and says, not only can an Erechon be Mechayev Shvua, an Erechon has the magic of ability to do what? To potter a pre-existing Shvua. If I didn't tell you with you, and Hilchus Shvua kicks in, I'm about to take a Shvua, and now all of a sudden I bring an Erechon to support my claim, the Erechon can get me out of a Shvua. I was a chayv to take a shvuah, so I didn't make this. I was chayv to take a shvuah, so I showed him. I was chayv to take a shvuah, their eyes, their mouth, whatever it is. And I all of a sudden can bring an erecha to support myself. Guess what? The erecha is going to get me out of the shvuah, because after all, come with the shvuah. Be'ilu kula be'ilu chumra. We're not prejudiced one way or the other. Erecha always works in chashvuahs. So come to Rabbeinu Tam and says, that's what the Gemara's kasher is. Shneibach, Zimbitalis, Zamatz, Zayishava, Reuben's got a square, and Shimon's got a square. Wait, the Gemara says, before you start invoking Shavuos, why don't you see, does anybody have an Erechon on their side? If anyone has an Erechon on their side, that Erechon will be able to accomplish two things. He'll be able to force the other person to take a Shavuot D'Araisa, because he's now contradicting the Erechon, and he'll be able to get the other person, who is supporting, out of the Shavuot D'Rabbanan. So we'll change the Pesach Din L'Gamri. You thought that we have to pass into both Yishma, or they both take Shavuos, it's wrong. We thought that they both would take a shvuah through a bottom of Shnayim Echad Metalos. Pesach is wrong. What should really happen once the Erechon enters onto the scene? One of the Baalei Din takes a shvuah through Eis, and the other one walks out scot-free without a shvuah. So that was the Gemara's kash of Lechzus and Menachem. Legamri, different story. It had nothing to do with Nemanus of Baalei Mekach, and it had nothing to do with Biyados, and it had nothing to do with Rashi, and there are nothing. And guess what? It has nothing to do with Kedushin of Ayin Dalan. It's legamri, a different kash. Just because Chazal use the same term doesn't always mean that means the same thing. We say from Reb Chaim that the Gemara says in Maseches Ksuba that in order to say Sheva Brachas after the first day, you have to have what's called Panim Chadoshos. So Reb Chaim said, if you look at the Gemara in the end of Avot Kama, the Gemara says, if I steal dirt from somebody and then I turn it into a brick, so that's considered to be a Kinyan B'Shinui. The Gemara says, why? Every dirt is really a brick. It's the same thing. It's just made out of the dirt. The brick is made out of dirt. So the Gemara says, no, Panim Chadosh is Baal Mekam. It's a new face, it's a new entity. So Reb Chaim said, so how come when it comes to Sheva Brachos, you should take a brick, put a brick on the table, and that'll be a Panim Chadosh. So says Reb Chaim, you see from here, it's a joke, no problem. So you see from here that just because Chazal used the same term, Panim Chadosh, it doesn't always mean the same thing. Panim Chadosh in Ksubas meant a new person, Panim Chadosh in Baal Mekam meant a new entity, a new brick. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says there also. It's not exactly the same. That's what Rabbeinu Tam said. The Lechze Zuzim Manoch means different things in different places. In Kedushin it meant that limits the Migo, makes it into a Migo Makam Eidim, Migo Makam Anim Sadeh. Whereas here in Bav Metzia, it's a new day, namely Shabbat Kerech, which is going to work in terms of changing the details of our Mishnah vis-a-vis Hilchos Shavuos. The gamrei a different shot. Totally a different shot in the Gemara. Of course, what are the pros and cons for Ben Atam's Pshat against Rashi and the Rif? The pros, the greatest pro, the greatest thing in favor of Ben Atam's Pshat is what? He finally answered one basic Lomdisha question, namely. Where did Nehemiah's Baal Mekka come from? What's a based on according to Rashi? We have no idea Rashi and the Rif, what's it based on? So Ben Atam gave us a halachic mechanism called Nigel that we're familiar with. We plugged it into here. That's, of course, the positive part of Ben Atam's Pshat. Of course, the difficult part of Ben Atam's Pshat is it may be great conceptually, but it's textually very difficult. The textual difficulty is what? You have two phrases that mean such radically different things. There was nothing to do with each other. Of course, Rashi had his own textual problems that he had to change the Pshat and Gemara. The Rif had his own textual problem was what? He had to say the Shnei Melchizedek doesn't really apply to the second half of the Mishnah. So there are pros and cons of each of the Pshat and the Rishen. You have to see, you have to look. Rashi has his pickle, his pros and cons. Rabbi Tam has this Pshat, the Rif has this Pshat. Each one is a difficult Pshat in the Gemara.
According to the Mishnah, would the
Mocher
also work as a
Meyachot? Yeah, anyone could be a Meyachot. Comes the Ri. Says this quote from the Ri of Sanu Pshat. Lagamri, a different Pshat. What does the Ri say? The Ri says, the Lech says, Zuzu Biman Nochet. Who are we asking? Says the Ri. You're asking the wrong people. Bein the Rashi, Bein the Rif, Bein the Ben Atam, we're always asking the Baal Mekka. But according to the Ri, we're not even asking the Baal Mekka. Who are we asking? We're asking the guys themselves. Why do we ask them? Because we really think they're what? We really think they're honest. This is a throwback to what we spoke about in the past. Are the Shnai Mokzim and Talas, are they honest people who are just making a mistake? Or are they Shakranim? We spoke about this earlier in the Sugya. So the Ri is a Dan Lechav Tzchus, it's holy by the middle of the Sugya, it's Tshuva, it's Amechulim Tzadikin, it's a Levi Yitzchak Baditch, remember it's a Tzadik. They're just making Kilachol Omer Shkoga, they're making a mistake, they thought that it was this, it wasn't really this. There's no Shakranim, no Ganovim here, Jim Tirashan Yom Kippur. So the Ri says, let's ask them, tell us who gave the money, who didn't give the money. So the Gemara answers, what's the problem? And they both give the money. So that each one thinks that the other one, now who knows what the Meicha's real das was. I thought the Meicha likes me, so I thought he's masking to me. The other guy says, I thought the Meicha liked me, he's masking to me. So each one is making a mistake. But if the case would have been that just one person gave the money, then the guy's not going to lie. I'm not going to say I gave the money, but he didn't give the money. So according to... That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out, what the case is. The Gemara says that it doesn't make any sense that if they're both holding on to the talus, so let's find out, let's ask them exactly what's going on. So no one's going to say, they're not going to say straightforward, they're not going to say straight out that they lied. So the reason Lagamri is a different shot. Mamash in left field, different shot. But within the regular Mahalchim, most of the Rishon and Rash and the Rif and the Rebbein Atam, that the Pshat of the Gemara is that we're looking for some Nemonis or some outsider, some third party. So the outsider we've identified is the Amonis Baal Mekach. According to Rashi, we have sometimes Baal Mekach is believed even if it's not Tachas Yadav. According to the Rif, it's always Tachas Yadav, even in our case. And according to Rebbein Atam, it's nothing to do with the new, there's no new fangle called the Amonis Baal Mekach. It's basically just an extension of the principle of people. So this is all just in terms of the Shachlat HaRei Gemara, four Pshat, Rashi, the Rif, the Rebbein Atam, and the Ri, four Mahalchim, the Agamah, the Kedushin. But now we get to, in a sense, that's really the main part of the sugya, was Tosfos' objection to Rashi. Tosfos said Rashi's pshat is inconceivable because Rashi and the Rif also failed to explain to us what the Nemonis is based on. Where did it come from, such a Nemonis? That's the most powerful question in the sugya. And all the textual and the changing of yourself, everything is all nice, but Tachas, bottom line, Elu Yitzu, there's some newfangled thing called Baal HaMekach. Nemonis Baal HaMekach, the Gemara Kedushin talks about. If you go to Ben Atam, I understand it's based on Mika, but once you tell me that it applies even outside the realm of Tachas Yado, then we got a big problem. Where does it come from? What is the assert? What is the source? What's the rationale for this new Nemonis according to Rashi and by extension the Rif? Hopefully, from tomorrow, we have to really work on that question. What is this new Nemonis if it exists according to these Rishon? Same time tomorrow, right? 12:00.